Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now our hostesses, Jen and Sherry.
Hello, this is Jen. Oh no, a frog in my throat already. That's a terrible hello. Hello. Oh, welcome to the show. Good grief. Well, welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. I'm Jen Halterman, one of your hostesses. And Sherry Gillum is going to be joining me shortly. Welcome. We hope that you are comfortable and ready to engage with the show. We are just having a conversation between partners and curious wanderers of the world, and we are talking about relationships this week and about the lighter side. How can we lighten up? Even when we get in the muck and the mire, like what is there to let go of that can help us to lighten up? We talk about aliveness a lot on the show. We talk about staying in curiosity, and even when, yes, we don't have choices about some things that happen in life, we do have choices about how we react to it. So that's kind of what we are about here on this show, is really what would it take to live your most fabulous life? What do you need to let go of? What can you really, you know, choose to laugh more about, have more joy in your life, show up more authentically, and love like crazy? What would that take in your life for you to engage in your life that way? And that is what this conversation is about. But we are talking about relationships specifically and showing up and going away. Oh, it's going to be a good show. So if you want to get on the phone lines, if you want to talk to us about the topic at hand, you can call in at 646-200-0825. If you would like to be in the chat room, you can go to blogtalkradio.com to the actual show page. Scroll down. There's a chat box there. And you can join in, sign in, and join us in the chat room. Oh, without further ado, I'm going to bring Sherry on. I don't know what the frog in my throat was about, but that was exciting. Hi.
Hi there. Good morning. Gosh, I'm so excited to be here with you today because we didn't have very much coffee time this morning before our days jumped into high gear. So hi, Jenny.
Hi. I know usually our normal routine is that we create time every morning to do that. Ease into the day, talk about what's on our hearts, share what's on our minds, that kind of thing. And last night we chose to stay at band practice late, so we slept in a little bit.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here we are. We haven't really talked about it too much, so this show ought to be really fun because it's very impromptu.
Yes. It always is with you. That's what I love. You never know.
We never know. That's true. All right. Yesterday, Sherry, I shared on the show. You weren't on the show, for those of you who have or haven't listened, but Sherry isn't on every show with me. But yesterday I was on solo, and I shared the metaphor of, you know, somebody cute. Somebody comes along, and they're really cute. They have a cute little car, and they ask you if you want to go for a ride. And so you say, yes, you're cute. I want to go for a ride. And the metaphor plays out that in order for you to get in their cute little car, you realize you're too tall, so you have to, like, cut off your legs. And just, you don't need them. Their car's cute. You're just going to get in the car. You're just going to remove that part of you, toss it to the side, and join their experience of going for a ride. And the metaphor plays out. They cut off their arms, you know, so basically they're a torso in a car. And they're going on the ride of somebody else's life. Because the person was really cute, you know, and in that dynamic, it talks about, you know, just consider, what are you cut off to be in relationship? And as the show unfolded yesterday, we, you know, there was a lot of wondering and comments about, yeah, I can see what I've cut off to be in relationship. But also what unfolded very briefly, because we didn't have a lot of time to go through it, is the concept of being that person in that cute little car and having somebody wants to come and spend time with you and be in a relationship with you, and they're willing to cut off part of themselves so they can get in your experience. And, boy, what that brought up was just how exhausting that is and how draining. Well, here's the other part, is whether we're the ones cutting off part of who we are or whether we're the one who has people, you know, making adjustments to try to fit in with you. Either way, it's really easy to go to blame. Well, you made me cut off that part of me. No, they didn't. Well, in order to be in a relationship with you, I had to give that up. No, that was your choice. Right. And it's really a crappy place to go to in relationship. If you have blame in your relationship, you cannot stand on a strong foundation of authenticity. Blame is a really shifty foundation. And so that's why I really wanted to talk about that more with you on the air, but also talk about how do we show up and how do we go away? Because, boy, when we get in that space of like, oh, well, I gave that up because so-and-so didn't like it or whatever, or do we own that? And what do we do about it when we realize it? So there's a lot for us to tumble through today. We don't have a script, y'all. Just, you know, hang on, put on your seatbelt. Because we don't have a big script or outline for the show. We're just going to really authentically tumble through this conversation and wonder it together. And so, you know, let's talk about that metaphor first of the car. What do you resonate? Because we've read that in that book. It comes from the book Being You Changing the World Together. What do you resonate with that?
A lot of my past relationships, I've been the person that has cut off my arms and legs to fit.
Yeah.
So I remember the first time that, you know, we read that and we both about puked when we read it. because of just that awareness, that just really keen awareness of like, oh my gosh, I did that. And and all of the, it's not about the shoulds that it brings up, it's just the awareness. You know, there's a difference of being aware than going into, oh well, I should just stop. Well, we do things sometimes just because. And it's what we do on the other side of it. And, oh, okay, I have awareness about that. Yep, I did that. And it is stifling because what happens, I'm going to just talk from my perspective of cutting off those arms and legs of fit because I was too much of one thing or I was too, not outspoken, but just too, I want to just say too much in the sense of I was loud, I like to have fun, so I kind of compacted that and cut off my fun arm, or I cut off my too loud, you know, going into movie theaters and laughing really loud, and I'm the only one laughing, so there went my big toe, okay? So being compressed, it's very confining in there, and as I kept cutting those things of myself off, I became, you know, this compressed accordion with all this air and this energy, trying to fit in a tight box and not, you know, keeping myself contained in that in order to not be so much for the other person. Or you don't like that about me. Okay, I'm going to. And that's really shitty. it's really shitty. I mean, and I can, excuse me, I have the same frog. He hopped over in my throat. And, excuse me. At the time, of course, was I aware of it? I was probably aware a little bit. Looking back now, I've seen several relationships in which I've done that. And really just saying, hey, this is enough. This is, you know what, I don't need to be in a relation. I don't need this. You know, I think there comes a point, there came a point for me. I can't speak for others. There came a point with me, it's like, I don't need this. I'm really going to redefine who I am so I know what I want so that I don't fit in a little tiny car anymore. because mm-hmm. I think that we're all very powerful people, and we have those innate gifts and qualities within us. And you know, I'm not willing to sell out anymore. And I don't know if it's a sellout. I just used that word. Because it
well,
is, you know, looking at the,
excuse me,
go ahead. Looking back, it does feel like a, wow, what, wow, I really did that. I sure did.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and here's the trick. To anybody listening, if you're like, wow, I don't know, what do I do? I just want to, true confessions here, this shows up in layers. No matter how much work you've done, you're going to keep learning from life, and it's going to keep showing up in layers, because where if I look back at, you know, 1990s, what I gave up of myself is 100% different. You wouldn't even recognize what I, quote, gave up of myself or denied of myself compared to now and what I deny of myself or what I've given up. And the way I show up is different. The way I go away is different. And when I choose to go away now is so different than how I chose to go away in, you know, my marriage of 2000. That it's very, very different. And so sometimes it can surprise you. It can surprise you. I was raised to be a people pleaser. I was told it was my job, and I bought into it for many years. And so when I consider, okay, people pleasing, whatever that means, that was a game I used to play. So the way that I would go away in the past is, mm-hmm. I'm not going to be too much. I'm not going to be too loud. I'm not going to be too assertive. I'm going to keep everybody happy by people-pleasing. Well, then, you know, you bring into account all the training, all life experiences, you know, maturity, wisdom of age, whatever you want to call it, and you fast forward to now, and my version of going away or my version of people-pleasing might be that I get over-accountable, that I go, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to go into blame. I don't want to go into blame, so instead I don't acknowledge my ouch. Like, I really want to say nobody is perfect. Nobody. Like, this is not a perfection goal universe that we live in. It isn't possible for you to find the way to be perfect. This is, life longs to be experienced. Life longs for you to learn. There's new layers of growth and expansion to go through and explore. So you're going to keep learning. So if you have the audacity to say, that's it, I've achieved all the wisdom I'm going to do, I don't have any other learning experiences, this is yours, you know, we're in relationship, you're having a problem, this is all you, it's not me, you're just being an asshat of a different proportion. Like, you're being a conscious asshat, you know. I call that a superior asshole. And, you know, so when you consider, okay, there's all these different aspects of how do I show up, how do I go away, the key, if you actually care about the relationship you're in and you want to continue to have it expand and grow and all of that, the key is to be open and curious. And so as this topic comes up, as we stay in conversation about this, I think about that car ride metaphor, open and curious. Yeah, there were parts of me that I cut off. I distorted myself in horrible ways to try to fit into past relationships. And guess what? I've also been the driver of that car. And that came up yesterday. And so as I look at that, I go, I'm the driver of the car. What happens? What goes on? And quite honestly, as yesterday played out after the show and as last night played out and this morning played out, what I had to come to for myself personally is, what in the hell am I doing allowing, tolerating, and staying quiet about somebody cutting off part of who they are to get in my damn car? Because it can seem like that person expects us to do it. But what if that person actually doesn't want us to cut that part of us off in order to join them? What if that person actually is like, oh, yeah, you're right. We don't fit in this car together. Hey, what are our options? What's the possibilities? What else is possible here? Instead of the conclusion of, I'm really cute in this cute car, let's go for a ride. And for me, that's what comes up. That is my awareness of what I've been rolling in is, okay, not only, you know, I'm not seeking to blame an ex or, you know, shame on me for doing this in the past. Instead, you know, I'm kind of in that space of like, wow, where have I tolerated that? Because as I spoke of yesterday in the show, if I am in my complete aliveness, I want to be in a relationship with somebody who is in their aliveness also. That does not mean there is any selling out at all for either of us. Otherwise, we're not in our aliveness.
Right.
And so when I look up, you know, okay, where do I show up? Where do I go away? The truth is I go away when I am tolerating, when I am making space for, when I'm saying, okay, so I don't want to do this, you know, I don't want to go into blame, I don't want to go into judgment, I don't want to be the superior asshole, I don't want to da-da-da-da-da, and I'm not going to tell you that that hurts my feelings because I don't want to appear like I expect perfection. Like, mm-hmm. What the hell? That is the audacity of showing up over the top of your own feelings, your own experiences, your own truths. And that is as sabotaging to a relationship as anything else.
Right. Yeah, it's like you're cutting off, you know, I hear you say that, and I'm like, you know, you're cutting off your own appendages to fit in your own car, and that's not who you are.
Right. Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, I think there's some, I actually, and this is kind of off the topic, but I'm completely honest, I think that in the, you know, the inner work or the, I don't know, new age consciousness, whatever world, I think there is a spiritual override that is so, so ridiculous that it cuts off part of our humanity.
Yeah.
It cuts off that part that says you have emotions, you have feelings that hurt your feelings, speak up. You know, like, I think that it does. I think there's a fine line there. And so as I look at this topic, so I think, okay, so let's look at this, let's talk about this, blah, 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 blah. All we can do, and this goes to everybody out there, all you can do is address you. It's not about the other person. If you want to be in a relationship, the best thing for you to do is make sure that you are your most important, authentic, accountable self. Really. And not overdo that. Not do it over the top to the point that you start being accountable for somebody else. Instead, that you just stay in yours. Let somebody else have their experiences. You know, how do you show up? How do you go away when somebody's upset? That kind of thing. That, to me, is where the juice is of individual relationships. You know, we can't give you a 10-point plan here for how to deal with this because every freaking relationship is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true. That's summing it all up. Every individual is very different, and how you show up in relationship with each other is very, very different. How we show up, how someone else shows up, it's their own, you know, painter's palette.
Mhm. Yep. It truly is. So, what do we do? Like, where's the hope? What do we let go of?
Mhm. I think for me now, just based on our relationship, it's just I'm really keenly aware, and I continue to be more and more every day. I get more aware. Because some days I'm not. I'm just not. You know, I'm like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But
this is a big topic, and a relationship is a big topic. And I think I find myself getting more quiet and listening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, how I show up a lot of times is defensive. And as we've been going through all of these things, it's like, okay, I'm just going to just listen to it all. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I believe that we need to give each other that space to say it all while the other person listens. You know, because if we're always going back and forth, we're coming from a headspace. Our heads are talking. And when the other person sits and listens, it's a heart-to-heart. Mm-hmm. And the longer that person sits in their awareness or their feelings or what it is, they go deeper into, it's kind of like journaling. They go deeper into what is at the heart of the matter. Mm-hmm. And if someone is interrupting, it throws them out of there. It's kind of like, what did you read that multitasking thing on the air yesterday?
No.
You read great multitasking. When we're multitasking, people mm-hmm. can do it really, really well. If you just do one thing, if someone comes in and you're multitasking, it takes you 23 minutes, I think. Then you said 23 minutes
to
go
get
back
to
the one thing
state.
You were. Right. So mm-hmm. let's put that analogy into relationships. When you're having a deep relationship, it's not about it being one-sided. It's like, what if I interrupt you? What happens when I interrupt you? How long does it take you to get back to where you mm-hmm. were? Because it throws you off. It's like, pew, let's spin. And vice versa.
Yeah.
So, and vice versa. I know for me, I have to really talk and talk my way through it for me. And that's what's different of how I'm showing up. I didn't allow myself or I didn't demand my space to speak and or be heard. And I know now what's different is I give myself my own permission to be heard, and now I'm learning to do it in a not as a defensive way. That's my trick. How can I not to stand up for my right, but say, no, I really have something that's heartfelt that I want to share.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's a really good point. I was working with a client recently who was in this conversation practice with their spouse, and there was a space of, okay, so we kept asking questions, we kept staying in the curiosity, stayed out of conclusion, and, the great question was, how do we end that dynamic? Because they're practicing on non-hot topics, like talking about movies and, nonchalant stuff. So that was their practice. And I was like, that's a great question. And I said, you know what I would really love for you to practice and try this out, and it's what came up while you were saying that, was what's the most important thing out of this whole conversation? There's so much there, but what is the most important thing you want me to know in my heart? And mm-hmm. that is really good, because we can get so wrapped up in, I'm going to show up and I'm going to tell you everything, and there's like, bah, 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 and this onslaught, and we can feel attacked, we can all this stuff. And if we will literally kind of let them like drain the tank, okay,
mm-hmm.
the fire hose is spraying everybody, it's knocking shit down, it's kicking everybody's butt, you feel like you're going to drown. Eventually the tank starts to drain. And, eventually it's just this little drip, 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 drip. Okay, great. So out of all of that, what's the most important thing you want me to take away from this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Because in that relief, even though, some of it can be really adrenaline-based and heated and all this stuff when it's going on, when we show up, and we haven't been showing up, by the way,
If you haven't been showing up and you suddenly show up, you can come across like a fire hose. You know, you can drown somebody and knock them on their butt. So just be aware. And so if that's gone on and you're showing up, even when it's done and you get to that, oh, I'm so, okay, I feel so relieved, but now I'm so depleted, da-da-da-da-da, what's the most important thing you want me to know?
Yeah.
From that space, they're not in adrenaline. They're not in, I'm going to get my turn. They're not in, you have to listen to me. They're not in, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, it's in that space that there's really an opportunity to choose what is the most important thing I want you to know. The most important thing is I feel really freaking sad, or mm-hmm. I feel scared, or I don't trust you, or I want a divorce. Sometimes that is when that comes up. I can absolutely, I remember that moment. I actually do. I remember that moment with my ex when there was like, lying and cheating and da 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 and all this stuff, and the hose never got to the point where it just laid there and went, yeah, I'm done. I'm actually done with this relationship. And so when you get to that place, that clarity, if you never let that just show up all the way and unload it, you don't get to that space. But here's the other part of it. While you're doing all of that, if you're witness, if you want this relationship to continue, if this is something you want, you're engaged in and the aliveness and it's a yes for you to stay, you cannot keep interrupting them. You cannot mm-hmm. interject all your fixes, all the, you can't. It is so, it's dishonoring. It is so dishonoring when somebody is opening up their heart, spilling all the contents out before you because they trust you, because you're in, I mean, even if it's not about you, okay, say they're talking to you about a relationship with a parent, and they're just like, bleh, I got to get this out, bleh, here it is, bleh. And midway through, you're like, I'm going to call your parent, I'm going to tell them we're never talking to them again. That is so dishonoring because you don't let them get all the chunky bits out. You know, it's like you're trying to put a Band-Aid over it, and it's dishonoring. It's assaulting. It's like, oh, my God, you're not going to listen to me anyway. I'm going to stop talking. And guess what? They go away again. They shut up and go away. I know you may be tired of it. You may think you've heard this a million times, but if they're still saying it, they haven't gotten to the bottom. They haven't drained the tank. Okay? And there, it is a conversation skill to learn. That's why I teach it. It's also why we practice it. I mean, there are times when we've had to do that and have a conversation where one of us says, I got stuff coming up. Can you witness this with me? Can you hold this space for me while I go through this? And if not, it is not a personal thing. I'll call a friend. I'll call, you know, a personal coach. Whatever it is, I will go elsewhere if it's not a yes for you. Not that you have to say yes to me. See, there's the expectation. Oh, no, but what if, well, I don't want him to go away. And there's the jealousy being triggered from last week. You know, like, no. Like, sometimes we need a different sounding board. And if we're jealous of that sounding board, that's just a form of going away, okay? So when I think about all that, I think about the just needing to let it go, show up. It really makes me wonder if I realized at the time, I realize it now, but I wonder if I realized at the time how me cutting off parts of me, if when I was trying so hard to show up authentically that I was willing in that moment of authenticity to acknowledge that there was no way I could be authentic because I'd betrayed myself. I don't think I could acknowledge that when I was in it. And so that's kind of the trick of this conversation. Yeah, because some people aren't happy about this conversation. The trick of this conversation is, guess what? If you left part of you somewhere, it's up to you to go get it. It is not up to your you know, your current relationship to become that appendage for you, it's not their job. If they are supposed to fill the gap that you dug out, that's a setup for them. That you're taking, yeah, that, ooh. I mean, yeah, old school, call it codependence, call it what you will, but truthfully, it's not their job to be part of your 100%. It's not. Your job is your 100%. Their job is their 100%. We do not come together as 50%, 50% to create 100%. No, we don't. No. That is not what we do. If you want a relationship that's full of aliveness, you both have to be completely in your aliveness. Show up 100%. Then you get to experience aliveness in relationship, which does not use addition. It uses multiplication. Because when you're in aliveness in your relationship, it does not say 100% of yours and 100% of mine equals 200%. No. Excuse me. That's funny. 100% shows up. Wow, excuse me. And it meets the other 100% and it multiplies exponentially. I'm going to mute myself and cough for a second. Sorry. You got it, Sherry? You good?
Yeah. We both have it. Yeah.
So what did you hear in what I just said, dear? So are you coughing?
Yes. Hang on.
All right. So anyway, that's the point. That's where I get so, yeah. I know. I'd love to. But that's where we get to the point where what is your 100% doing? Is your 100% choosing into a relationship where somebody is showing up at 50%? Is your 100% showing up to fill them up? Are you trying to be 150% so you can fill them up?
Yeah.
That.
Wow. You've hit
all
a
right,
couple.
I'm gonna let you talk.
I'm just going to share from my perspective. Showing up 100% and me showing up 100 or thinking I need to show up at 150%, I can look back to relationships and like, okay, you know, and this is really twisted, but I could be enough. But am I really being 100% when I step into that and be all of that? And no wonder I've like had the issue of then trying to fit myself in the car by taking out appendages. I mean, you know, there's a very slippery slope. You know, do your work because, and I'm still doing my work. There's a very slippery slope when you get into relationship. Make sure you're clear of your intentions, and like you said, people can show up looking differently. Show up one way, and when you get in relationship, they're totally not the person. They're not the person that you thought they were, and you know, and that goes for friendships too. You know, if someone wants to be your friend real, you know, or friends that you've had a long time, and then they show their true colors. It's are you willing? Am I willing to say, oh no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fit in that box.
Yeah.
I'm really stuttering here because of really realizing where I would show up more than the other person and then start taking off my appendages to fit in that. That's like, wow, I did do that. Guess what? I have a new awareness of it, but I have I guess what's happening right now is just a deeper realization. I was like, wow, okay. Now, notice I'm like saying, well, you know, I don't go into judgment about myself. It's just like, whoa, you know, slow down. It's like I'm got a slow motion movie up here, you know. It's like, whoa, seeing through a different lens, you know.
Yeah. Well, that I think that's kind of the juice of a conversation like this, is because where is it? Where have you? And this is for all the listeners, because I'm not saying this to Sherry, at Sherry.
No.
Where have you gone to letting go of yourself or over showing up? Where is that for you? What is going on? Do you know where your 100% is? Literally, do you know where the boundaries of that 100% is? Do you know where the parameter is? Do you know when you start leaking over into somebody's space? Do you know when you're feeling empty and you're searching for somebody to hijack part of their aliveness so that you can feel alive? Are you aware of that? Because that, my dear listeners, is the stuff that destroys aliveness in a relationship. If I have a depletion and I expect somebody else to fill it up for me, that's a setup for them. I'm actually I'm just freaking stealing it, stealing their aliveness, hijacking their aliveness. I'm taking it so I can feel better. And I'm not looking at what needs to be healed. What in me is this gap about? What in me is this hole? What in me is this pain? What is going on in me? And this is why, and you know, Sherry and I, you and I have talked about this. This is why we need outside conversations, outside the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we need that space we can go to that is accountable, that is not about blame and shame and have-tos and shoulds, but we need those friend spaces or a therapist or a coach or whatever to go to and say, look, I need to talk this through. I am going to trust that you're not holding this against the other person or whatever. You know, if it's a therapist, who gives a crap? If it's a friend, you be dang sure that they're not somebody who's going to hold a grudge and come back around and lash out at your partner and go, yeah, nah, 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 you know, and hold it against them. Like, no, I got to work through this. Which is the part about really, really being clear about where you have your conversations, with who, and what is their intention for listening to you. Are they listening to you from a place of, I know your truth is in this relationship. I am not listening from a place of finding out who's wrong and who we can blame, but I am listening from a place of, I will witness you as you find your truth as to what your gap, your pain, your whatever is about, so you can address it. And that's a big thing. You know, that should, do you show up or go away? I have had numerous people who freak out when their partner goes and talks to somebody else because they're afraid of they're being made look bad. They're afraid that they are going to, you know, have that person that they divulge to, family, friend, whoever, hold it against them. They're ashamed of their behavior, whatever. And to me, that just shows that within the relationship themselves and in that personal relationship, that reputation is more important.
Yeah.
And that they're more worried about what others think of them. And that is a really crappy place. It contributes a lot of ego, toxic stuff into the relationship. And so when you go to talk, is that person listening? And do you have a clear agreement or container to say, hey, guess what? You can 100% show up and tell me anything. I'm not going to hang on to it. I'm just here to witness you and hold space for you and be here to ask you questions to keep you in curiosity as you explore what's going on for you. And if they can do that, do it. Like, that's important. And you and I have talked about that because I think it's vital. Personally, I think it's vital.
I can't agree more. And, you know, hindsight's 20/20. For me, in some of my friendships, you know, having those friends that can actually hold that space, even if they disagree with you, you know, and even if they disagree with you, it'd be good to know if they were going to hold that space so that you could talk and get it all out and see it through the other side and ask questions from a curiosity point of view, not just say, I'm done with this, you know, I'm out, I'm not going to do this anymore. It's really important to have that friend that you know that is clear that can hold that space for you.
I think it is.
Yeah. Okay, so what's coming up? Showing up, going away. Showing up, going away. If you notice you're in that dynamic of showing up, going away, and it feels like a bungee cord, that to me is it's a symptom. It's a clue, so to speak, okay? And what is it? What's the clue? Because that's what somebody said. Like, I show up and then I go away. I show up, I go away. To me, it feels like a vulnerability issue. And what that when I say that, what that means is if you show up and you feel really vulnerable, sometimes as a response to that, you'll shield just in case there's an attack. Just in case, oh my gosh, I exposed my underbelly. Now I got to hide because I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected, or I'm afraid that you know, it's going to be used against me in a fight, or whatever that is. And that show up, go away, show up, go away, is just building muscles, and you can use that as a shame on you, or you can use that as, oh, I've got some vulnerability practices to do. I've got some fear responses where every time that I show up and get intimate and share my heart, I have to run away and I have to isolate and, you know, hide out a little bit. So check in with that and see if that's an issue for the person who is asking the question about that particular response and how it plays out. Because, you know, when we're in it, and when we become aware that we cut off part of who we were, and we go into a new relationship, I'm going to say this. If you haven't gone back and gathered up your pieces, parts, you are no more whole in that relationship than you were before when you were in it. The new relationship is not whole with you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So if you cut off part of who you are, if you disown part of your identity, if you deny part of your essence, in a relationship you're like, that's it, this relationship's a mess, I'm out. If in that space, somewhere along that journey, if you do not go back and you do not gather up your pieces, parts, and do your healing and do your forgiveness of yourself for letting that go and all of those things, if you do not do that and you just simply tumble into another relationship where that relationship is not in agreement with you gathering your pieces, parts, you're taking the same partial experience of you into the next relationship. And sadly, that's one of the biggest things that I see with people, is because they're not willing to do their work, because they're not willing to show up, because they're not willing to heal, because they're not willing to face their shame, they just kind of take it to the next thing. You know, I can remember talking with a friend years ago, and she said, you know, it's like if you leave a relationship and you're in a tornado and it's horrible and you're just swirling around and flinging parts and you're a mess, and you happen to bump into somebody who thinks you're cute, your tornado, they're now in your tornado if they choose in with you. Because there's none of that self-identity. There's none of that clarity. And so many people do that. And especially, just imagine if you're a tornado and that cute other person is also their hot mess self, and you two come together, you're now a supercell. You know, you're a megastorm. And so in that space,
It doesn't matter if you're in a relationship. It does not matter if you're out. None of that matters at all. What matters is, are you doing your work so that you're not kind of inflicting your pieces, parts that are flinging about? You know, I mean, think about the roller coaster. Keep your arms and legs inside the ride at all times. If you got arms and legs outside the ride and you get close to somebody, you're probably going to kick them in the damn head. And they're like, what was that? I don't know. It's just my leg. It's hanging around back there. It's not really attached to me because I disowned it, but it keeps trying to catch up to me. Sorry, I kicked your ass. Like, can we not see that we take it into the next situation? It is there. And we can pretend to be in denial that it's not happening, but we know it is. You know, I have huge trust issues from, you know, this other situation. Yeah, did you resolve those? Are you going to bring them over here and kick my ass with them? So, Sherry, do you have any wisdom on the topic? Are you still in your... I know. Is there any awareness to share, or should I just go on? I feel like you're kind of like,
No, I when I was talking earlier, it kind of brought up a couple, you know, some friendships that I have. So I was kind of like, okay, I was grateful that you talked for a minute. But when you're talking about, you know, you're both tornadoes coming together and now you're a big storm. So that's so true. I mean, it's, I can only speak from my past experiences and what I know. And that is so true. Two storm cells coming together. I've done that before. That's not fun because, man, trying to get out of that is crazy shit. You know, getting out of that is really, really crazy. And, you know, it is really, you know, people say, oh, don't get into another relationship. You know, make sure you get your work done. That's so true. That's so true, and it's so vital. Because I think in any relationship, you need to, when you're out of a relationship, you need to go back to square one. What do I want? Who am I? Especially if you've driven the car, or been the one that takes the parts off. It's so important. And, you know, I think you started the conversation of, well, how do you bring your, did you say something about how do you bring your vitality back or your aliveness? You know, what do you do to nurture you? You know, don't go away from those things that bring you your own aliveness and the little self-care things. It's so easy to get in a relationship and just like, oh, I'll do that later. Well, guess what? You do that later and you do that later and you do that later, and then you're like, oh, I haven't been doing that. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Do you want to go into blame?
Yeah.
Do you want to go into resentment? Do you want to go into, you know, what do you want to do about it? Oh, wow, I did that. Maybe you just need to acknowledge it. And, oh, wow, I did do that. Wow. Okay, what are you saying? There. Okay, what do you want to step into? Do you want that for yourself now? Do you want to give that to you? Because you're, are you the same person without it? Probably not. Because those were the things that fed your aliveness, whatever they were. You know?
Absolutely true. And I know one of the big things that we talked about for you is the music and how it contributes to your aliveness so exponentially. It multiplies your aliveness. You just connect with the music and it just lights you up, okay?
I mean,
and how you've put it away for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And diminished it and minimized it and let somebody else tell you how you should do your music and when you should do your music and where you should do your music. That is a really great example of what we're talking about. And it's up to you to pick up your music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's exactly
our relationship.
True.
So what? Our relationship? I told you, I'm tired. I don't know this old pattern of having your music put away. I'm done with it. So get your music out. It can be in the dining room, and it can still sit there and not get touched. But the fact is, it's not about that. It's about you. You have to be the one to get your music out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very big piece of this, I think, that... Yeah, it's amazing. It is amazing to me how we can sabotage ourselves. We can deny ourselves, and we think it's a relationship that's doing it, and it's us.
That's so true. That is so true, right there.
Wow. Great insight. Okay, so wow, this is such an awesome can of worms. Let's open this one up.
Okay.
Oh, let's talk about jealousy last week. Let's talk about relationships this one. All right, this will be fun. You can't deny it. Oh man. So okay, I'm checking in. Are there any questions still to address? Does anything come up for you to address? Any questions we're curious about?
No, but this is good because there's other things coming up of where this will go this week and the aliveness and you know, going away on yourself is a big piece of that. You know, it's up to you to be in the relationship. You know, how important is a relationship to you? Do you want to be, first of all, do you want to be in a relationship with someone else? Second of all, are you willing to stand in your own arena and be your authentic self and show up and still be in a relationship? Because as you said earlier, and as I believe, our own aliveness feeds the relationship as a combination of the two.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely.
And when one person goes away, then there's a little seepage in that container of the relationship. Two people have to be individuals before they can come together and still be individuals in a relationship. You don't give up your individuality.
Well, yeah. It doesn't contribute to the relationship if we do.
No.
So
exactly.
Ask yourselves, everybody listening, just ask yourself, am I truly in a relationship? Am I showing up in the relationship? Am I being authentic? Ask of yourself in using self-language, reference to yourself, not projection, but am I in my own arena? Am I in my own aliveness? Am I in my own lane? Am I the one that's doing my work? Because one of the biggest things that you can do to really destroy trust in a relationship is sit across from somebody and make all of everything in an entire relationship about the other person. You did this. You did that. You did this, and you made me feel that way. And by the way, that's bullshit. And so one of the biggest things that I would say, one of the takeaway skills that I would share with you is watch your language. Are you talking about yourself when you talk about relationship, or are you talking about how the other person should do everything? You have to change this. You have to fix this. Or are you able to be accountable and say, wow, I noticed I feel sad. I feel really sad when you stay out late at night. I notice that when you're out with the friends drinking and partying, I get really scared. I feel scared during those times. And instead of saying, you have to do that, you can't go out with them anymore, I am not going to tolerate this. Instead, say, hey, you can keep going out with your friends, but I have to own the fact that I feel really scared when you do. When you're gone, I am having the experience of being scared. I am having the experience of jealousy. I am having the experience of shutting down my aliveness. I am having the experience of making your aliveness more important than mine. I am having the experience of not speaking up when my feelings are hurt over, having you feel uncomfortable with the fact that something hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very big dynamic there for us to practice in ourselves, and it's something that this is a huge, huge learning curve for all of us, and we all get to practice it. I do it all the time. I mess up, and I circle back, and I address it. I circle back, I address it. Where am I in myself? And please understand, I know there are people that when I say, what about me, where am I sabotaging myself, who will sit back and go, oh, shoo, awesome, she's not talking about me. She's making this all her fault. I'm going to let her. That's true. Some people will. But also, people that I want to be in a relationship will go, oh, so where am I doing that also? While you ask mm-hmm. yourself, I'm going to ask myself that question also. Because to be in your aliveness, you got to be looking at you. You can't have the binoculars on over-inspecting somebody else's aliveness, see how they're doing and if you're okay. You have to be in your own aliveness to address what's off with you. If you've got something that's hurting, if you've got something that's, bringing up pain as an awareness, it's up to you to address it. So you better be aware of what's going on with you. And so as we look at this topic, showing up, going away, aliveness in relationships, it's so interesting. Even in the happiest relationships, you guys, this is all present. This is all present. And if we deny that we have any problems in a relationship, we are shutting down the opportunity to address them before they become that tornado or that fire hose that knocks us on our butt. And that's a choice. We can choose it.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also choose to show up and be accountable and go, oh, you know what? This may have nothing to do with anything, but I keep having this uncomfortable thing about this topic. I'm going to deal with it now. Why? Well, because it came up to deal with. I'm going to address it. I've got some healing to do. I've got some forgiving to do, whatever that is. It is a choice. And we can go away as in I'm cutting you out, or we can go away as in I'm going to spend time with me. Sometimes mm-hmm. going away isn't a bad thing. It's our judgment about it that makes it right or wrong, good or bad. So instead of saying showing up is always right, going away is bad, please understand sometimes if you show up and you're an asshat, you are no better off. That's not a contribution to the relationship. That's not a contribution to the aliveness. It's not honoring. Sometimes showing up and being authentic and real and vulnerable, yeah, great. But if you're an asshat, at least say, I know I'm being an ass. I've got to clear the hose. At least acknowledge mm-hmm. it, Give the person a chance to step out of the target and let you clear the hose, fine. But you've got to bring conversation to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah.
Wait, you're going to be an ass? You're going to open up the hose?
Yeah.
Let me put my swimsuit on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Going to be over here.
Yeah.
Well, this topic is obviously one that's going to be going on all week. I appreciate all the listeners, all the chat people for sending me messages and, asking your questions and feedback. I really appreciate you being there today and just contributing to the topic and the awareness, because we are all learning. Nobody is perfect. No matter how hard we try, we all get to keep learning, and life longs for us to be experienced and learned. And so that's what's up, is how does that look in relationship? Sherry, thanks for being on the show with me today and letting me cough.
And letting me cough too, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.